Chapter 21. Miss Oriana Morsha, Emile Carver's lady's maid, arrived just after breakfast as promised. Missa busied herself with Elaine, who, as Ariane had expected would happen, was dressed rather coquettishly. Her younger sister had fretted all morning, wanting to see Mr. Harper as soon as possible. The ledgers, as Baron Carver had indicated, had been stowed neatly in the false bottoms of her and Elaine's trunks. Now they were locked safely away in the armoire. Ariane had sent word to the Queen that she had an urgent matter to discuss with her after breakfast, and hoped she would be able to free up mid-morning tea. She was eager to put the matter to rest, and while not as outwardly enthusiastic as Elaine, she, too, wanted to see how Baron Carver fared. His brief stay at High Tower seemed to connect him to their fates, and she felt honour-bound to care for him until he could manage on his own. She owed him a great deal and wondered how best to reward him for his service to High Tower. Oriana heated the curling rod on a rack above the coals of the fire. She appeared drawn, unhappy, and even a little pale. Since her arrival, she had answered all courtesies and questions laconically, and Ariane wondered how to steer the conversation toward Lord Carver without causing her undue distress. Ariane could hardly fault her for extracting little joy in her service to widow Lady Carver. Who knew what terrors the vain, silly woman inflicted on her lady's maid? "So how do you find Frostbourne, Miss Morsha?" Ariane asked, finding some place safe to start. "I hear the winters are quite dreadful." "We do have the wasting wind for 2 weeks in the winter," she answered, returning from the fire with the rod, "and it does get colder earlier than most places, but the summers and autumns are pleasant. It is a bit lonely there. Lady Carver is always complaining that there is no good shopping within 100 miles. I suppose that's true. It's not a place to go if you care much about fashion." Ariane couldn't help but grin. Oh, how Emile must hate it. And is it true that the late Lord Carver rebuilt the estate's wealth from practically nothing? Oriana's countenance changed almost immediately from sombre to bright. He did. The townspeople talk of it constantly. He's a bit of a hero to them. He was a lord, but he learned to do low work so he could save money and pay off debts. They talk of how he would grow his own garden, hunt for his own food, clean the huge manor where he lived alone, washed his own clothes, kept up the yard, cooked his own food, and he has always been a good master. Well, he was. Encouraged by the girl's enthusiasm, Ariane plunged right in. Widow Lady Carver certainly didn't think much of him, if you'll forgive me for noticing. Red rose in her cheeks, her eyes narrowing. Everyone, and I do mean everyone, Lady Hightower, loved Baron Davon Carver, except Emile Ironhorn. I didn't begin my service with her until after they were married, but he did everything he could to make her happy, and she treated him cruelly at every turn. Her voice began to break. I could hardly stand it last night when she talked of him with such mockery and disdain. I know you likely think ill of him for what he did to your husband, but he was a good man, Lady Hightower. I swear by the flame. I believe you, Miss Morsha, she soothed, amazed by the girl's reaction. She obviously had loved him too. She continued. I do not fault Lord Carver for defending his fiancée's honour. I'm sorry if my question upset you. The smell of burning hair filled the room as Oriana set about her work. The girl snuffled a bit, choking back tears. I am sorry, my lady. I've had a hard time letting Lord Carver go, and I have to endure Lady Carver's insults and disrespect for him almost daily. What about him do you miss so much? Ariane asked. Did you spend much time with him? Ariane watched Oriana's face in the mirror, and the young lady smiled wistfully at the question. Not as much time with him as much as around him, she answered. I don't know how to express it. I've worked in 2 noble households, and, well, he was different. I think it was because he had to endure poverty when he was young. But he treated everyone like they were important. He took no pleasure in ordering anyone around, said please and thank you to the lowliest pig farmers, would ask for opinions of his servants, and listen. He was never harsh or cruel. He was just what I always imagined a good man would be. I hope I don't sound too silly, Lady Hightower. Nor do I wish to imply that we had a special friendship of any kind. He was good to everyone, including me. Ariane felt like she was beginning to understand Baron Carver more clearly now, though she couldn't help but wonder how bad his marriage must have been to have inspired him to leave Frostbourne. Had he any notion of how his people loved him, or was he only able to see how much Lady Carver didn't? Thank you, Miss Morsha. One more question. I have recently lost the steward of my house and noticed in the paper this morning that a Mr. Saunders was advertising himself. He mentioned that he was the steward of Frostborn. I thought I might interview him. What did you think of him?
Oriana shook her head, a mirthful smile coming to her lips.
Lady Carver hated him. Lord Carver swore by him. I warn you that he is thrifty to a fault and an old military man. You might desire someone a bit more genteel for an estate as grand as High Tower, my lady.
Ariane smiled.
Genteel? Is he a bit rough around the manners? He speaks plainly, my lady. Very plainly. And loudly. He'll act the same way for a duke or a street urchin.
Consistency is a good quality for a steward, Ariane said.
But I have one more question for you, after all. So what's to become of you once your lady marries the very tall Earl Tarbor?
She shrugged her shoulders.
I suppose I'll be putting my name in the papers, too. I don't think I'm quite fancy enough for an earl's wife.
Nonsense, Ariane said, wanting to do the girl a good turn.
If you are released, I insist you write to me first. If you're willing to come this far east, I can probably find you employment, especially since you are a master with hair. You are very talented.
Oriana blushed.
You are very kind, Lady Hightower. I'm finished. Do you need me for anything else?
Ariane stood, turning her head to admire the curls.
It was good work. If you could help me into my dress, I would be much obliged. Are you about ready, Elaine?
I've been ready since breakfast, Ariane, she returned grumpily.
Ariane chose to match Elaine's flirty attire so that Baron Carver wouldn't think that Elaine was pursuing him. If they both dressed for pursuit, that meant neither of them was, or at least she reasoned it so. She chose a cream-coloured dress with a deep maroon surcoat embroidered with golden thread. She had worn it many times before she wed, but little since. It emphasised just the right curves, and when she saw herself in the mirror she felt a little spark from the days when she was Elaine's age and the world revolved around romance and attracting the right sort of man.
"Your ladyship looks extraordinary," Oriana complimented her. "As do you, Miss Brighton."
Ariane thanked her and Oriana left. The door had hardly stayed closed for 3 seconds when Elaine took her hand and dragged her out into the hallway. Ariane wondered if Elaine had ever acted this way over a man before, and what it was, exactly, that Baron Carver had done to win her enthusiastic good opinion. Oriana's words provided the likely answer.
He treated everyone like they were important.
Perhaps that was what drew Elaine so powerfully. Her mother and father taught them that they were important, but never treated them as such until they were married. Ariane remembered feeling like a nuisance until she was betrothed to Viscount Trevane Caunton of Hightower. Baron Carver had treated her sister with friendly respect, and something in Elaine reverberated the welcome and proper attention. When they arrived at the infirmary, Dr. Otis greeted them.
Lady Hightower and...
Good morning, Doctor. This is my sister, Miss Brighton. He genuflected.
It is a pleasure to meet you. I'm afraid that we had to move your friend, Mr. Harper. He decided to take another unauthorized excursion into town to get some paint for his carvings. I had the house guard track him down, and in the ensuing chase, Mr. Harper managed to reopen the wound to his leg. When the Queen heard of it, she ordered him placed in a nearby room under guard. I need to check up on him, so if you'll follow me...
Ariane covered a smirk with her hand. Baron Carver definitely had an independent streak in him, probably born of his long days alone while recovering his estate. As they approached the room, the doctor asked the guard outside if Mr. Harper had offered any more trouble, to which he responded in the negative. Dr. Otis knocked on the door and cracked it.
Dr. Otis and two ladies to see you, Mr. Harper. Are you dressed?
Yes, come in, came the reply.
They all went in together. The room was one typically used for those having a protracted illness or who needed special care. A comfortable bed, tables, an armoire, and a desk allowed room for a couch for visitors. Mr. Harper, wearing a loose white shirt and the split brown pants, sat near a bright window, his paints scattered around the snake-like walking stick Ariane had seen the night before. Somehow, he had finished it. He reapplied his unnecessary glasses and politely stood, welcoming them and inviting them to sit. To Ariane's relief, his face had a little more colour than the previous evening, despite his recent misadventures, though dark circles still ringed his tired eyes.
"How are you feeling, Mr. Harper?" the doctor asked, examining the bandage on the leg. It appears the wound has closed again.
I am fit, Doctor, thank you. I request to be released to my own recognizance.
The doctor threw him a disapproving look.
Hardly, mister. You do as you're told and lay still for 2 days, and I'll consider it. I'll leave you to the ladies, then.
He left quickly, and Baron Carver turned his chair toward them, his countenance worn and sleepy.
You both are always so beautiful, he said, seeming lost in some thought.
Have I lost track of the day? Has the day of burning ball arrived?
Elaine blushed, and Ariane was surprised to find that she was too.
You are too kind, Mr. Harper. The ball is still 2 weeks off. How do you fare?
I feel a bit better, but more tired, he said. I am glad you came.
Did you find the ledgers?
Yes, of course, Ariane answered. You needn't trouble yourself about them any more. You need to forget all these troubles and do as the doctor says so you can recover. Will you promise me you will, for our sakes?
The ledgers are your business, Lady Hightower, he said. I won't inquire into the matter further unless you request it.
Then rest, Mr. Harper, she urged,
a little annoyed by his apparent insistence that all she cared about when she visited him were the bloody ledgers.
Promise me you will stay in bed and get well. No more running around town for wood and paint and whatever else you're looking for.
Yes, Elaine added. Do promise, Mr. Harper. You must get well so the Queen can knight you.
He laughed, and Ariane could hear the tinge of bitterness in it. He regarded Elaine kindly.
I don't think that will happen, young miss, though I thank you for the thought that I'm worthy of it.
One moment, I have something for you. He reached down into his carving bag near the table and pulled out the companion saber cat, placing it on the floor.
I thought the other might be lonely.
Elaine's eyes opened wide.
But how did you know? Did you tell him, Ariane?
I did not.
Elaine concentrated, and the saber cat came to life, bounding across the room and into the eager hands of its new owner. The satisfied smile on Baron Carver's face touched Ariane. He truly relished seeing the joy his gifts brought. His marriage to Emile continued to make less and less sense. As much as Ariane despised the woman, she now wanted to spend more time with her to see if she could divine just one redeeming quality, besides her looks, that would have attracted a man like Davon Carver. He was so warm and gentle.
And Lady Hightower, he said, I wondered if you might see the Queen today.
I believe I will, though I have no fixed engagement as yet. Is there something I can bring to her attention for you?
He grabbed the walking stick, probing it to see if the paint had dried. Satisfied, he picked it up and started to stand. Ariane, realizing what he was doing, shot up first.
Sit down, Mr. Harper, she scolded. For pity's sake, you must not move so much or you'll reopen the wound.
I don't mean to be troublesome, I apologize.
And quit acting like we think you're an annoyance, she continued, emotions getting the better of her.
Why am I so overwrought?
Yes, well, he stammered. This is for the Queen, if you wouldn't mind giving it to her for me. I know that it's hardly feminine, but that is what the wood... Well, that's it.
Ariane took it, trying to settle herself. Another masterpiece. For eyes he had placed 2 pieces of jade that seemed to glow in the sunlight. The scales were all carved to overlap perfectly, something that should have taken him weeks, not days. If news of his gift ever got out, he would be one of the most sought-after artisans in Bittermarch. She had been severely tempted to show off her pendant and bracelet to everyone, but refrained, fearing it would bring him unwanted attention.
I wonder if she'll be able to make it slither about, Elaine said, excitedly,
commandeering the carving as Ariane returned to the couch.
Warn her to be careful, if you would, Lady Hightower, he cautioned. That is an arrow asp, and they are deadly poisonous. Of course, saber cats are dangerous too, so I hope she can control it in a similar fashion as Elaine does hers.
You're the Queen's friend, Lady Hightower. Do you think she'll like it, or is it a bit strange? She doesn't use a walking stick now, so I hope she can find some use for it. I'm sure she will be as amazed and thankful as we all have been.
He nodded and stifled a yawn, seeming to tire before them.
I am sorry. I am poor company today, especially for 2 such fine ladies as yourselves. Not that clerks are well known for their conversation anyway. I wanted to thank you both for your kindness to me. It is likely our paths will cross little in the future, so before you leave, I want to say that it has been an honour to know you both, and I wish you the best. If I have caused either of you any pain or offence, I regret it.
Ariane, not sure what she was feeling, stood suddenly.
I told you, Mr. Harper, quit acting like you have ever been an annoyance.
Something powerful was rising within her, and she couldn't suppress it. Embarrassed, she crossed to the door, pulled it open, and rushed into the hallway, completely unsure of herself and finding her eyes stinging. The door opened and closed again, Elaine rushing to catch up to her. Ariane choked down the urge to cry. For what, she couldn't guess, and tried to steady herself.
Ariane? Elaine asked, face troubled. Are you angry with Mr. Harper?
I am not angry with him, she explained. I don't know what I am today. The last week has been so draining. I don't know. This whole business has me out of sorts.
Elaine's mouth dropped open.
You're going to miss him.
Yes, Elaine, I will miss him.
You won't?
Of course not.
I'm going to marry him.
I plan on visiting him every day until he asks me.
Ariane stopped mid-stride.
Miss Elaine Brighton, what a notion!
She wanted to be angry, but the insanely bold statement pulled her up short.
You're the daughter of a Viscount, Elaine. Mother and father are hardly going to let you marry a clerk, or even a knight. Besides, he's at least 10 years older than you and hardly has the income to support someone with your fine tastes.
Now she had offended Elaine. Her sister frowned and put her hands on her hips.
Priscilla Danton married a man nearly twice her age.
Yes, but she was 25.
So, when I'm 20, he'll be what, 30? Does that sound so awful?
Ariane shook her head. There was clearly no point in trying to reason with her.
You discuss it with mother and father, and tell me what they say. We'll elope.
Ariane ignored her as they went to their rooms. A message awaited her there. As she had hoped, the Queen agreed to take mid-morning tea with her. Ariane used the intervening hour to rein in her emotions. She still couldn't understand what had triggered the outburst in the first place. She would miss Mr. Harper, of course, but she determined that it was the stress that had turned her emotions so erratic. Her confrontation with her steward, the invasion of her home, the mystery of the ledgers. Baron Carver expressly going against her orders and acting like she thought he was a fly she needed to swat. All of it was adding up. Once her head was clear, she would go see Baron Carver again and be as controlled and pleasant as ever. When Ariane arrived at the Queen's drawing room, the servant told her she was in the infirmary and that she should meet her there. Ariane wondered if she had gone to visit Baron Carver and perhaps issue further orders to force him to comply with the doctor's instructions. Upon arriving, however, she was surprised to find the Queen stretched out on the bed, a grimace on her face, as the flame-touched hands of Dr. Otis nimbly wrapped her ankle. Ariane bowed quickly.
Your Grace, what has happened?
The Queen winced as the doctor pulled the bandage snug.
Nothing out of the ordinary for an old woman who doesn't lift her feet as far up as she used to. I caught the edge of a rug and twisted my ankle. What is it that you have there?
Ariane again wondered at Baron Carver's strange prescience.
It is a gift from Mr. Harper. A walking stick.
Dr. Otis looked up.
Ah, yes, I saw him working on it. A nice piece of work. And timely.
The doctor finished his wrapping and gave the Queen a drink of a red tonic.
Rest here for an hour, Your Grace, he ordered. I'll check on you then, and we'll get you up to your chambers.
The doctor bowed to them both and left. Ariane sat at the foot of the bed, letting Philippa examine the gift.
An arrow asp, the old monarch said, turning it over. Very cleverly done, too. I was bitten by one of these when I was younger. Almost killed me. A timely gift indeed.
Ariane lowered her voice. And there is more. Look here.
She drew the Queen's attention to her rosebud and bracelet, willing them to bloom and close. The Queen smiled.
So that is his gift, then. You do know he is flame-touched?
Yes.
I recommended him to Lord Ember just after you left for Hightower. So how does it work? How do you command them?
She asked, inspecting the serpent's head.
With a thought, though he wished me to convey to you that you should exercise caution. He has given 2 sabre cats to Emile, and they seem quite docile and protective, but he couldn't be sure about the asp.
The Queen concentrated for a moment, and the walking stick wiggled to life. Ariane gasped and darted away from the bed as the snake slithered about. The Queen laughed, pleased, and then returned the snake to its more comfortable form.
Excellent! I don't recall that the flame has ever gifted anyone with this kind of animism before. There are tribal tales among the Ahuakatan of such things, but those come from long before Cretus was formed.
I shall have to talk to Lord Ember about it. But let's turn to more urgent matters. Now that you've spent a few days with Mr. Harper, how do you find him?
Ariane returned to the bedside, finding herself struggling with uncomfortable emotions.
He is too self-effacing. He is stubborn and independent and doesn't respect the peerage. He flat out disobeyed me when I told him not to ride off with the ledgers. And I hate his beard. It's an awful thing.
The Queen grinned.
You liked him, then? He was very tolerable.
Tolerable? The Queen asked, eyebrows raised.
Well, I suppose that is a respectable quality. You do seem a little sad today. Perhaps it will cheer you up to know that the Earl of Longford, the hero of Harwickshire, should be here this evening to rescue you from these sad reflections caused by this intractable, tolerable clerk. The Earl will certainly be pleased by your divine looks today. I do hold you some ill will for not informing me that you are betrothed.
Ariane bolted upright.
What? Yes, the Earl is coming to announce it at the day of Burning Ball. That is why the two of you went off alone into the Elder Wood together, was it not? Did he not drop the knee?
He did, but he never finished, Ariane explained. The shooting interrupted his proposal. He never formally gave it, and I never formally accepted. How dare he be so presumptuous?
The Queen's continued humour at her expense was starting to grate on her.
Calm down, Ariane. Everyone has been quite enamoured with the Earl since his heroics. He probably calculated that there was simply no way you could refuse him now. He has become quite the celebrity. Why, there's even talk of a statue.
But they were not his heroics,
Ariane corrected, keeping her voice low.
Ah, but he thinks that you think that they are. What a wonderful secret to carry into a marriage. Now, I'm sorry, Ariane. One day you may find these little vexations as amusing as I do. Please sit down and tell me about these ledgers and the attack. Do not leave out any details. I need everything, including how and when Mr. Harper gifted you and your sister these carvings.
Ariane's mind spun. She took several moments to push out thoughts of Baron Carver and the Earl, with whom she was now furious, and the Queen seemed content to let her take her time. When she finally related the tale in full, she fought to control her voice, memories dredging up the same indescribable emotion that had been threatening to drown her. When she finished, she felt better, though a little exhausted. The Queen appeared troubled.
This is bigger than I thought. I will send the Lord High Sheriff to collect the ledgers immediately. It sounds like our Mr. Harper is deserving of a knighthood, though I wonder if he would accept.
I think he fears noble society more than bullets and brigands. Ariane sighed. Elaine hopes you will knight him. She is intent on marrying him, and has threatened to visit him every day until he proposes. Silly, silly girl.
Yes, how ridiculous to pursue the thing one loves, the Queen returned sarcastically. I need to rest now, Ariane, and you should prepare for the arrival of your parents and the Earl. Convey my regards to them all.
I will. Thank you, Philippa.
Regards? Eutychus will get a piece of my mind.